Welcome to the Mountain Grapevine program on WART Community Radio for Madison County, North Carolina. My name is Chuck Blethyn, your host for today's program. The Mountain Grapevine reports on all things grape and wine in the mountains of western North Carolina, and sometimes elsewhere. My programs will have interviews with movers and shakers in the viticulture and wine industries, as well as some educational sessions on wine etiquette, wine evaluation, and special value-added products that can be made from grapes. Today's program is going to feature Hugh Courtney. Hugh is an acquaintance and friend, I like to say, in the biodynamic industry. He's been making biodynamic preparations since 1978. He lives up in Woolwine, Virginia. The name of his company is Earth Legacy Agriculture, which he owns as a partner with his grandson, Jeremiah Proctor. Today we're going to be discussing biodynamics and what it means to farming and to viticulture. So the first session we'll be talking about the application to farming. So, Hugh, welcome to the show. Tell me a little bit about biodynamics. What would our program listeners like to or know about biodynamics?
Well, I'm sure they'd like to have biodynamics simplified, but I haven't quite composed biodynamics for dummies yet, but I'm told I have to by more than a few people. I have been making the preparations actually since 1976. Biodynamics originates from a fellow named Rudolf Steiner way back in 1924. Steiner was a seer, or one who could see into spiritual worlds, if that's allowed on a program like this. But he came up with some amazing recommendations to farmers back then who already were suffering from seed that alfalfa fields that didn't stay productive for as long as they used to, and so forth and so on. Animal health was a concern. They had had hoof and mouth disease in Europe sometime in the early part of the 20th century, and this is when Steiner operated. He's more known for other presentations to the world or other information he gave the world on things like Waldorf education, on architecture, on a dance form or an art form, really, called eurythmy, in which the human body expresses the meaning of words. It's a fantastic lot of work he did. And those who were familiar with his work, many of them were farmers or veterinarians or even agronomists, and they wanted to know what could be done for the problems that they were having in agriculture already at the beginning of the 20th century there, because they were beginning to use certain chemicals, the crops were not holding as up as well, and so forth and so on. He gave a series of lectures, known as the agriculture course in general, 8 lectures, and he told people what to do. And some of the things he told them to do included taking cow manure and putting it into a cow horn and burying it for the winter months of the year. And that's known as Biodynamic Preparation 500. It's a basic tool in biodynamic agriculture for creating living soil and a high humus soil. It's paired with another preparation called 501, or sometimes known as horn silica, in which you take ground up quartz crystals, usually, but other forms of silica, and also put it in a cow horn and bury it for the summer months. So you have a kind of polarity already with these two, 500 and 501. 500 is more earth, building the earth forces, and 501 is more what we call the cosmos, the cosmic forces coming into the earth. Steiner actually said that the earth is losing its silica force, and that is affecting agriculture. Now, the chemical fertilizers being applied even back at the beginning of the century were having a negative effect on agriculture, and it has only gotten much worse. I would hesitate to surmise exactly what Steiner might say about present-day agriculture, but he was not in favor of too much chemicals. Biodynamics came before quote-unquote organic agriculture, which in this country is mostly attributed to J.I. Rodale and Organic Gardening Magazine, whatever name that magazine might have had. Changed its name several times. I think they had a recent name change too. At any rate, this is the general polarity for working with soil for 500 and working with plants, because you apply 501 as a fine mist foliar spray.
Excuse me, can we go back just for the sake of the audience who's unfamiliar with this? Just give me a little 30-second shot on what. How do you make horn manure, and how do you make this horn silica?
You gather good manure from healthy cows and stuff it into a cow horn.
Not a bull horn.
Not a bull horn, not a heifer or a steer horn. And you put it in fertile soil and bury it for the winter months.
Now, how deep?
Somewhere around 12 to 18 inches deep, with 12 to 18 inches worth of soil on top of it.
Okay.
And we have buried as many as 6,000 horns in a pit in Australia, which has much more successful track record for biodynamics. They buried 60,000 and 90,000 horns in a pit. So.
Wow. That's a lot of horns. That's a lot of manure.
Yes, you could say that.
What about the silica horn?
The silica, usually one takes a good quartz crystal. You can also use other forms of silicaceous mineral. Feldspar is one. Orthoclase is another. I've used feldspar as a source of silica preparation, and also quartz. It's ground up very finely and moistened, placed into the cow horn again, and, as I said, buried for the summer months. And when you go to treat an acre with 500, you use about 1/4 cup of material. You stir it in water and spray it out over that acre. You're not irrigating the acre or watering it in. You're distributing energy that you have transferred from the horn manure to the water by a stirring process for one solid hour. That's sprayed on the soil, and it, over time, it changes the quality of livingness to the soil. It builds the humus in the soil. It builds organisms come in that were never in the soil before.
Talk to me a moment about these. I know there's more than one preparation. I think you said there were eight.
Well, and a total of nine. Other preparations most known to people in doing biodynamics are the compost preparations. You have six different preparations made in also, shall we say, strange or arcane ways. We won't necessarily go into all that at this point, but you have the yarrow preparation, chamomile, oak bark, stinging nettle, dandelion, and valerian.
These sound like all native plants that grow in our fields around here.
Many of them do, yes. And culturing them is easy enough in most places. For those that don't, can't be easily found. Yarrow in this part of the country is probably rather abundant. It certainly is in my part of Virginia. In fact, that was the most notable place on my 105-acre farm when I first moved there, that the yarrow was quite abundant. Stinging nettle is scarce. Valerian was non-existent, but it's since I first moved there, I've been able to culture all those very nicely. And the point to biodynamics, in one sense of the word, the point is that any farmer can make his own preparations and be totally self-sufficient. It is the only form of agriculture that has the potential for the farmer to, in essence, thumb his nose at any outside inputs. Not going to happen overnight, and one of the first things that is recommended, especially by a fellow in Australia that puts down so many cow horns, Alex Podolinski, one of the things he recommends is that you make sure your soils are properly mineralized. He recommends rock powders quite often for that, but you, if you don't have the minerals in the soil, you can't necessarily create them out of thin air just using the preparations. So you do have to have a good spectrum of minerals, including trace minerals, in your soils as well.
Okay.
If you want to be thorough in your biodynamic approach. It's not just the preparations as is often presented by those that are telling you about biodynamics. Preparations are important. There are two or three things that distinguish biodynamics from organic or conventional method. One is that the belief in the earth as a living being is profound. We are dealing with a living entity in Mother Earth. It's not just an expression that comes to us from, say, Native Americans. It's a reality in biodynamics. And it's important to approach things. Now, many an organic or conventional farmer in his heart of hearts also regards the earth as something living. However, our conditioning in present-day agricultural education is to view it simply as material substance. There's no quality of life to the earth in a conventional view, if you will.
We're sitting here in the mountains of Western North Carolina, and as you know, Asheville has a reputation of sort of being central organic everything. The restaurants here brag about having local foods, organic foods on the menus, right on the front windows. And it's an interesting place with a reputation around the country, if not around the world, of having a place where we actually walk the walk in dealing with organic farming. One of the things that came to me when I was reading the agriculture course and some other related biodynamic materials that I got from you a couple years ago is that there's a huge difference between organic and biodynamic just from the sustainability part. A lot of people think that organic is sustainable, but I don't see that as a long-term sustainable solution. Biodynamics I see as a long-term sustainable solution.
Well, the biodynamic ideal is that you have your own animals, particularly cattle, for their manure. And that and composting with these six compost preparations that I referred to earlier, that is key to dealing with the soil, along with the 500 in particular. My own concern is that people regard these six compost preparations beyond their use for making compost, because they certainly have other uses that are extremely helpful when you look at the total biodynamic picture. You can take the valerian preparation, for instance, if you have some on hand and you're facing a frost problem or event going to happen to your vineyard, you want to have some valerian, because you can spray that valerian on your vines and you can protect those vines at least down to 18 degrees Fahrenheit.
18?
That's been experienced by many people.
Well.
And that's not inconsiderable. So, biodynamics is a total picture of the nine preparations. One of them I haven't mentioned yet. We'll get to it. The Equisetum arvense, or horsetail herb. At any rate, you use all nine of them in full-on biodynamic approach. And they can be used individually. Valerian also makes an outstanding seed bath or seed soak for fruiting crops, such as zucchini. You soak the seed for 2 or 3 hours and then plant it. It will germinate faster. Although zucchini germinates pretty fast anyway, and it'll be much healthier in certainly the beginning stages, even if you don't do anything else biodynamically. So any fruiting crops, tomatoes, peppers, etc., will benefit from a seed bath of the valerian preparation. And you have it handy for frost protection, both spring and fall, and it's just an all-around great preparation to have on hand.
We're going to take a break at this point, Hugh, and when we come back, we'll talk about another aspect of biodynamics that very few people really know about or know well of, and certainly not very many practicing, and that's in the ashing or peppering area. So let's take a break now, and we'll come back in just a few. So everybody stay tuned.
Our sponsor for this week's program is Dink Dollywag's Dowser Dangler. I know that many of our listeners have watched a treasure hunter looking for metal valuables on the beach using a metal detector. And you probably wish that you could afford to be looking for treasures too. Dink Dollywag has the answer to your dream. Dink is known in these parts as an inventor extraordinaire. He discovered that he could find metal objects and other valuables underground by using a piece of his old barbed wire fence that had cattle hair stuck in the barbs. He fashioned a loop out of the barbed wire that fit around his neck and let a 3-foot piece of barbed wire dangle behind his back. He then walks around the property with his dowser dangler around his neck while stroking the cattle fur caught in the barbs. The resulting static electricity charges the trailing piece of barbed wire. When he saunters over a valuable object underground, the trailing piece is attracted to the object like a magnet and begins vibrating and bouncing. It forces the loop around his neck to jiggle under his chin so he knows he has found something. So far, he's found a few old horseshoes, a broken pocket watch, and Aunt Bertha's pewter hair comb she lost 10 years ago before she died. But what got all the neighbors excited about Dink Dollywag's dowser dangler was his last find, a tin can full of old silver dollars his grandpa buried during the Depression. His dowser dangler nearly took his head off when he made that find. He still has trouble shaving with all the bandages on his neck. Dink Dollywog's Dowser Dangler, another specialty product made here in the good old USA in Madison County, North Carolina. You can buy your very own Dink Dollywog's Dowser Dangler today at the retail counter of Zuma's Cafe in downtown Marshall for only $1.298. And now back to our regular program.
Okay, everybody, we're back to the next session of our radio show, The Mountain Grapevine. We've been talking with Hugh Courtney, who is partner in the Earth Legacy Agriculture in Woolwine, Virginia. Just before the break, Hugh, we were talking about the various preparations, and you had mentioned that you wanted to talk about one additional preparation before we went into some other items. So what was the eighth one?
That's the BD-508, as it's sometimes termed. It's the Equisetum arvense, the horsetail herb. It is very useful preparation for dealing with fungus, but beyond that, it has a major relationship to what I call the watery element. When you use Equisetum, it's important to apply it at certain times, and if you've got insufficient moisture or if you have too much moisture. And I developed a technique called a sequential spray in which all preparations are used. 500, 501, the barrel compost, which is a form of the compost preparations totality, and then the 508. Many years ago when I applied this, I got rain when we were in a drought, and my batting average over the years, and that others have use this sequential spray for adjusting the moisture level of things, is over 900. So that's a pretty good batting average. If you want rain and you use this sequence, you'll get rain about 90% of the time. So that's a very useful preparation, to say the least.
I like the odds on that one.
It's also been used conversely to dry things up a bit. But in any case, it's a very handy preparation to know about and to have on hand for many situations. The other thing that we're focusing on at Earth Legacy is what is known as pest peppering or ashing. This is how Steiner suggested that people deal with various pest problems. Insect pests, weed pests, animal pests.
Animal pests, yes. Like moles, voles, raccoons?
Moles, voles, deer. I have pest peppers for all of those. And if you have a mole or a vole problem, I can furnish you a series of sprays that you can apply to your soils, and maybe the moles will choose to move elsewhere. We don't know for sure. I don't have a mole problem.
Maybe your neighbor does now.
That's possible.
Well, tell me about this pest peppering. What exactly is that, and how does it fit into the biodynamic?
Well, this comes from Steiner's Lecture 6 of the Agriculture course, in which he talks about how to deal with fungus problems and also how to deal with pest problems. And he relates it all to the moon forces, whether they're too strong, as he emphasizes, or as I have extrapolated from the lecture, when they're too weak. When they're too weak, you apply Equisetum, and according to the calendar, the moon is in a water constellation. And when the moon forces are too weak and you apply it in water, you get the rain. Or it helps encourage it, let's put it that way.
Okay.
But pest peppering. Any pest problem you have can be countered by taking a quantity of the pest concern, be it weeds or insect or animal pests. In the case of weeds or insect pests, you take 40 to 60 of the critters concerned or the seeds concerned, and you put them through a wood fire. We came down here to visit you, and we're concerned about the black rot. And we did an experiment, or we did the first step in a process of maybe dealing with this pest problem in grapes using Steiner's technique of peppering. Hmm. And we put the materials through a wood fire, and we're going to take that resultant ash and put it through a mortar and pestle process for 1 hour, and then we're going to take it through a series of homeopathic dilutions. The end result is usually a dilution of about D8, the eighth decimal dilution, and we take as little as a half a teaspoon, stir that in water for 20 minutes or so in the biodynamic fashion, which is starting in one direction, creating a deep vortex in the stirring container, reversing it, and you keep that up for 20 minutes with the regular preparation 500 and 501, the stirring time is considered to be an hour. We have some preparations that shortcut that, we hope. And the stirring is a very important process in transferring the energy of whatever preparation is involved to the water as a carrier of the energy of that preparation. And so with 500, 501, you're stirring in water. Valerian, you're stirring in water and applying it to the soil or the compost pile or whatever. A little bit goes a long way. It's one way to look at it. Like I said earlier, 1/4 cup of 500 substance is enough to treat an acre.
Wow.
With respect to 501, a half a teaspoon is sufficient to treat 1 acre. Same thing, I think, with the pest peppers. I am possibly one of the few people in this country and maybe even the world that's trying to focus as much attention as possible on dealing with pests. And it has not been done on the scale that I'm attempting.
Hugh, can you tell me and the radio audience a little bit about what type of products you have?
We carry all of the basic biodynamic preparations, 500 through 508. We're focusing on larger operations, real farmers, if you will, market gardeners, etc. We have all those preparations. Plus, we are working on various pest peppers. I've named several of them to begin with. If you have a pest problem, get in touch with me. I can perhaps already have something on hand to deal with it, or if I don't have something on hand, we can work together to make a remedy for you specifically in your pest problem situation. So, peppers for a number of different pests, Johnson grass, woolly adelgid, which I'm especially fond of because it has helped bring back the hemlock trees in parts of North Carolina and Virginia that were by way of dying through the sap deprivation of the woolly adelgid. It sucks the sap and the juices from the hemlock tree, and the tree cannot nourish itself. It cannot produce cones or seed. And over a period of several years, woolly adelgid is not countered in some way. It dies. We have sections of the Smokies, for instance, where there are vast acreages that are full of nothing but standing skeletons of hemlock trees from the depredations of the woolly adelgid. This pest pepper that I have made has worked to counter the effects of the woolly adelgid, to resuscitate or resurrect, if you will, the eastern hemlocks where it's been applied. I don't have very many people that have tried it, but where it has been tried, it does work.
Well, I saw the slide presentation that you made the other day about this, showing the befores, durings, and after, and I have to say it's very impressive. To me, that is a major, major breakthrough in the woolly adelgid disease problem, and I just can't believe it. Somebody would be interested in trying this.
Well, if they are, I have a protocol that includes 20 units, 20 half teaspoons, that are used over a four-year period. I also suggest some other treatments using a biodynamic compound preparation, which we call farm and field spray. It's applied to the tree and to the drip line area of the tree. And it's part of the effectiveness. I also suggest a remineralization in the drip line area of the tree using something like sea solids or azomites, a full spectrum mineral powder of some sort. And the combination of those things, but especially the woolly adelgid pest pepper, has stopped the woolly adelgid in its tracks. It doesn't poison them. It just creates an environment that they're not interested in remaining.
And they go away.
Yeah, and they go away. That's basically it. Pest peppers sell for $2 a unit. The four-year protocol includes 20 units. So we're talking about $40 to cure your pest problems. And it works. It has certainly worked for the woolly adelgid.
Fantastic. Hugh, I really appreciate the time you've taken with us today to explain so many things. I think at this point, we need to let our audience know where to contact you, phone number, email, website, that sort of thing, and tell us something that you want us to know about what other products you have.
Earth Legacy Agriculture, Post Office Box 72, Woolwine, W-O-O-L-W-I-N-E, Woolwine, Virginia, 24185. Phone number is 276-930-1377. My cell phone, you can't get a hold of someone there at that number, 276 929-9536. And I do return phone calls.
Okay.
It may take me a little while, and you may end up calling me when I'm traveling through a null zone, but I'll get back to you.
Well, Hugh, we certainly appreciate the time that you've spent talking with us today, and personally, I appreciate your coming down from Woolwine and taking a look at our particular black rot problem here at Jewel Blue Ridge Vineyard, not on our Catua Muscadine grapes so much as it is on the regular grapes that we have as a demonstration patch, but it's been fun having you here on the radio program, and hope to have you back again sometime, and maybe we can see some positive results out of some of this other work that you've been doing.
Thank you very much, Chuck. Appreciate being here.
This is the Mountain Grapevine on WART Community Radio from Madison County, North Carolina. If you have a friend whom you think might enjoy my program, tell them my Thursday programs will be rebroadcast on Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Chuck Blethyn signing off for today. Cheers!